passage this morning is Matthew 27, verses 50 to 51. You can turn there in God's Word, read for yourself what God has to say to you this morning. Last year, Stephanie and Hayden and I went up to visit Isabella in Northern Virginia. And of course, we took our obligatory trip down to downtown Washington, D.C. in the mall. We visited all the monuments. And we visited the White House. Now, when I say we visited the White House, I mean we visited the White House on the other side of the front lawn, on the other side of the big black fence that's about 30 feet high. We visited the White House on the other side of those white concrete barriers and outside the guard shack. But we visited the White House. Kind of. From a distance. And I can just imagine, if I decided I wanted to go visit President Biden, I think he was actually in residence at the time, I could just see how the conversation would go. I'd go up to the gate, and I would speak to the guard there. I'd say, I'd like to see the president, please. He'd look at his clipboard, and he'd say, well, what is your name? And I would say, Wayne Devinger, citizen of the United States. Sir, we have no record of your appointment. Well, you want to have an appointment? Why, yes. Well, how do I get one? Well, through his office staff. And I'd say, well, can I have their number? He'd say, no, it's restricted. Well, how do I get in? Well, it's better for you to wait until they call you. But they don't know me. Exactly. So I go home, my questions and needs go unmet. I'm no better today than I was because of my trip to the White House. And I was so close, I have lots of things in order that I'm sure that he would benefit from hearing from me. I have all kinds of opinion about the cost of college and the unfair college loan program. I have all kinds of wisdom on the healthcare center system and the cost of insurance. I'm sure that he would benefit from that. I'm sure that he would benefit from my ideas about world peace and even how things are going in the Middle East, don't you think? Maybe. You know, I was so close. I was just on the other side of the fence. If he just stepped out in the front yard and maybe pulled out some binoculars, he would have seen me, seen my lovely family. And he would invite me in. I'm a good guy, aren't I? Well, I might as well have been 20 miles away. Even if I did figure a way around the guard, those pesky Secret Service people would have kept me from the president. But it's not just the physical barriers that keep me from the president. There are barriers of time, barriers of status. You see, I have no clout. Barriers of protocol. I have to go through the right channels. What I learned that day actually is I have no access to the president of the United States. But what if the president took the initiative? What if the president had come out on that front porch, saw me and my lovely family, and saw me standing there and said, wow, he's married way above himself. Maybe we should invite him up. Maybe he's got something that I would want to hear. And so he would call his aide there, and the aide said, all right, I want you to call that family up here. And he'd call the Secret Service. The Secret Service would call the front gate. And suddenly the gatekeeper would come out and he'd say, Mister, I don't know how it happened, but you have an invite to the Oval Office. I'd walk right past that gate. I'd walk right up that oval lawn, that oval driveway, right up that front porch, right into the Oval Office. If he gave such a command, barriers would drop. I would walk right past those mean old Secret Service people, that mean old man with his clipboard at the gate. Everything's changed now. I can go where I couldn't go before. I was just a lowlife on the street, but now I'm special. Why? Because the man up there saw me down there and made it possible for me to come in. You and I both know that that is a fanciful story at best. When it comes to the President of the United States, no invitation is coming my way. But know this, with God, the invitation has already been given. God has spotted you. He has heard you. He has invited you. And what was once separating you from Him has been removed. Ephesians 2:13 says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Nothing remains between God and you but an open door. How can that be? If we can't see the President of the United States, how are we granted access and an audience with God, the Creator of the universe? What happened? In a word, somebody tore down the veil. Someone tore the curtain. Something happened in the death of Jesus that opened the door for you and for me. And that something is described in Matthew 27:50-51. It's just two verses. But would you stand and let's honor God's word as I read. This is what God did. Open your heart. And Jesus cried out again, and with a loud voice, he yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split. Thank you. You may be seated. The moment Jesus took his last breath, the moment that he passed on the cross, the whole earth shook. Rocks were broken apart. You see, when the Creator of the earth passed, the earth itself felt its consequences.
That's right.
And as incredible as that is, something even more incredible took place inside that temple that was up on the top of the mount. One of the wonders of the world at the time. In outside the Holy of Holies, in the middle of that temple, there was a veil, a curtain, that kept men out of the Holy of Holies. And it ripped from the top to the bottom. May seem inconsequential to you, but that is the farthest thing from the truth. The author of Hebrews also describes what happened on that fateful day of Jesus' crucifixion. But the author of Hebrews tells us what the torn veil means for us. Hebrews 10:19-20 says this, "Therefore, brothers, since we have a confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh." Now, the original readers of that last phrase, the curtain, that is, through his flesh, is explosive. It may just seem like a normal phrase to you as you read it, but if you were Jewish, it would be explosive. Because according to the writer of Hebrews, the curtain equals Jesus. The curtain is Jesus. Now, this was kind of strange to me. I always thought, you know, the curtain represents the separation between us and God. And the curtain was a symbol of that separation. And Jesus tore that separation. He tore that barrier. But I never thought that the curtain itself represented Jesus. But that's exactly what the author of the book of Hebrews is saying. He's saying, whatever happened to the flesh of Jesus happened to the curtain. What happened to the flesh? It was torn. Torn by whips. Torn by thorns. Torn by the weight of the cross. Torn by the points of the nails. But in the horror of his torn flesh, we see the splendor of the open door. The curtain is a reference to the veil that hung before the Holy of Holies in the temple. Nobody could enter the Holy of Holies. Only one person, once a year, a high priest. And then, only after he did a month's work of cleansing exercises and rituals, so he could enter. Why couldn't anybody go back there? Because the Shekinah glory of God resided in the Holy of Holies. The glory of God was present there. Now, if you were told that you were free to enter the Oval Office of the White House, you would laugh, wouldn't you? Well, now multiply that by 100, and you'll have what a Jew felt if somebody told them that they could go into the Holy of Holies. No one but the high priest could do so. If you remember, two of Aaron's sons died when they entered the Holy of Holies in order to offer sacrifices to the Lord in Leviticus 16. What does 1,500 years of a curtain draped over the Holy of Holies communicate? Simple. God is holy, separated from us. And because of our sin, he's unapproachable. The veil communicated that God is holy and you are sinful. God is holy and you are sinful. Even Moses was told, you cannot see my face because nobody can see me and live. God is holy. We're sinners. And there's a distance between us. And that's a problem. We know God is good and we are not. And we feel far from God. We cry out with Job, as he cried out. If you remember, in Job he cries out, if only there was a mediator, if only there was a go-between, if only somebody would speak on my behalf, speak on our behalf, if only there was a mediator between God and man. There's good news. God answered the prayer of Job. And he answers our prayer. Jesus is our mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5 says this, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. It's like God himself had his hands on that curtain. And so as soon as Jesus took his last breath, it's like God himself, God the Father, ripped that curtain from top to bottom. We know no man could have done it. It's 60 feet tall, 30 feet wide, made of thick, vivid, torn curtain made. For the Jews, it meant that no longer was there a barrier between them and the Holy of Holies. No more priests to go to. No more priests between them and God. No more animal sacrifices to atone for their sins. Well, that's what it meant for them. What does it mean for us? The torn veil means that we are welcome to enter into the presence of our Heavenly Father. We're welcome to enter into the presence of God Himself any day, any time. God has removed the barrier that separates us from Him. The barrier is down. The curtain has been removed. We have a tendency there to put it back up, don't we? Though there's no curtain in the temple, sometimes we put up a curtain in the heart. We allow our mistakes to keep us from God. We allow our guilty conscience to keep us from God. As a result, we hide from our Heavenly Father. Kind of like my dog son. Every once in a while, that happened often, but I'll come home from church, and I'll come in the door, and usually Sonny runs up to greet me. But every once in a while, he doesn't. I know something's wrong. And so I do some further investigation, and I look around the house, and inevitably, I'll find where he has gotten into something. He's gotten into a bag, usually it's chocolate, that either the kids have left on the floor, or Stephanie's left in her bag and forgot it was there, and I will just find the remnants. It'll be like shrapnel of wrappings and tinfoil all over the place. But no chocolate. That's a bad thing for dogs. They're not supposed to have a child. And so I'm worried. So I do everything I can. I clean up all that tinfoil and the wrappers, and I put it in the trash. I take care of it. And I go looking for Sonny. Usually I have to go upstairs, and I find him in a place he is not normally at. Curled up somewhere. He's got that look on his face. Dogs know when they've done something wrong. Dogs know guilt and shame. If you don't believe me, just look up on YouTube and put in guilty dogs. You'll laugh all day long. Because they do. That's how I look at it. He knew he had done something wrong. He was afraid I'd be mad at him. But what he doesn't know, what he didn't realize, is that I only cared about him. It's okay. And I already took care of the mess. And all I want is for Sonny to be okay and with me. And I say to the audience, God's not mad at you. He's already dealt with your mistake. Somewhere, sometime, somehow, you got tangled up in the garbage. You've been avoiding God. You've allowed the veil of guilt to come between you and your Heavenly Father. And you wonder if you can ever be close to Him. My friends, the message of the torn veil is, yes, you can. The message of the torn flesh is, yes, you can. God welcomes you. God's not avoiding you. God is not resisting you. The curtain is down. The door is open. And God has invited you in. Don't trust your conscience, trust the cross. The blood has been spilled, the veil has been split, you're welcome into God's presence. There is no secret service to keep you away, there is no guard shack, there is no 30-foot high fence keeping you from Him. God says, welcome in. Come to my rest. Come to the place that I've prepared for you. Right by my side. My friends, that is what God did to win your heart. We pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the veil. We thank you for the message, what it means. Yes, you are holy. Yes, we are sinful. Yes, we shouldn't be in your presence. But because of what Jesus did on the cross for us, taking our place, taking our sin upon Himself, exchanging places with us, the veil is torn. And you always have welcome arms open for us. No matter how far we've strayed from you, no matter how far we've gone, no matter what we've done, a return to you only takes one step. Step in your direction. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for the torn veil and what it means. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to give you the opportunity to respond to the gospel. Maybe you're here today and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart. You've never admitted that you're a sinner. Saying, I've become God of my life. I have set myself on the throne of my own life. I believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, that He was God's Son. He died on the cross and rose 3 days later. I confess Him as Lord. The cross of my life. Let Him make the decisions of my life, not me. Let Him tell me what is right and wrong. Live for His kingdom instead of my kingdom. If you haven't done that, I'd love to pray with you this morning. If you're not part of a church, we'd love to have you part of Lincoln Baptist Church. And Christian, what does the torn veil mean to you, right where you live? What does it mean for your relationship with Christ? As we sing about how God longs to draw us near, may we revel in that privilege. Revel in what He did for us to win our hearts.